Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
And welcome, friends. It is 6 minutes after 6 o'clock. So, is the Republican Party in danger of losing the next elections on the national level and maybe other places because they choose not to limit your gun rights? There's an interesting story in the Drudge Report about that today. It's an article that has Republican leaders worried. Now, it's an article that is written from the headline is Republicans Fear Extinction in the Suburbs Over Gun Control. You see, it's all about the suburbs, right? I mean, this is a Bloomberg article, so you got to understand the motivation behind this is not at all necessarily what is real. And it cites a Republican donor who's a big Trump guy, all worried about, sitting down with who was then the Florida governor, Rick Scott, is now U.S. Senator, and having lunch with him, was having lunch with him when he learned of the massacre at the Parkland School. Okay? And he says this. He's quoted in the story. Now, this is the second paragraph. So I'm going to talk about this today because I think it's important for us to parse and understand what's going on here in terms of what the press is saying. But then also talk about it realistically in terms of how it's maybe affecting us here in Oregon. Because believe me, the gun control folks are alive and well in Oregon, and as you know, some Republicans have helped them. Here's what this guy said. He said the Republicans need to make several moves, such as universal background checks, eliminating loopholes, and banning military-style assault weapons to neutralize the issue. Otherwise, Republicans will lose suburban voters just like they did in the midterms on health care. Now, it's hard to believe that that came from a Republican donor, because that really sounds more like Democrat Party talking points, doesn't it? Isn't that the kind of thing that would come out of the mouth of Chuck Schumer? Or how about Penny Okamoto, Ceasefire Oregon here? This is the kind of thing you would hear Kate Brown say, right? So, at the most basic level, let's just say that. How do you react to this? It's obvious that we have a problem with these folks that are doing these absolutely horrible, awful things with a gun. I have a problem with it personally, as a man of faith and as a guy who carries a gun to protect innocent people from people like this. So what's the answer? Is it Republicans? Do you really think that Republicans are going to do anything significant? We talked a little bit about this yesterday. Did banning assault weapons back in the 90s work? No, it didn't. The crime rate didn't change at all. The death rate didn't change at all. Because you know why. You can do more damage with a semi-automatic shotgun in a very short period of time. Oh, yeah, you may not have as many rounds, although you can change that. So, our universal background checks, that's something that we've had here in Oregon, haven't we? Has that infringed on your rights to go buy a gun? Maybe it takes a little bit longer. What about waiting periods? Does any of that matter? Would any of that have stopped what happened here? No, that's the reality of it, and you know it as well as I do. But that's not what this donor is talking about. Here's a Republican donor who is basically sounding like a Democrat. And if he has the ear of U.S. senators like Rick Scott, who make decisions on this stuff, how do you suppose this is going to end up? What do you think the president will do? What do you think the president should do? I want to talk a little bit about that. I also want to talk about the list of vetoes that Kate Brown... I really didn't get to this yesterday, and I'm sorry about that. Because there's a couple little things in here. There's a story in the Portland Tribune that Kate Brown is going to veto several rural proposals on Friday. Okay. So if Kate Brown was blocked because, I mean, her whole carbon trading scam was blocked by Timber Unity folks, loggers and other farmers and so forth, showing up in mass, going around the Capitol, scaring the living daylights out of people, especially the Democrats. If they're the people that blocked her, then why would she veto things that can only be portrayed as hurting those very people? Isn't that revenge? Or is one of those people that she's hurting one of her Democrat senators who said no to the legislation, said no to cap and scam? Is this about sending a message? Oh, we'll get into all of that today, plus your phone calls and your emails, which you can send me to jeff@1220.am, jeff@1220.am. And also the phone number, of course, is 503-589-1220, 503-589-1220. That's the Power Buick GMC talk line. So do you think Republicans will lose the next elections because of extinction in the suburbs over gun control? How would Republicans message this differently? Because what do you hear from the Democrats? You hear common sense gun control. Now, they're careful not to use the word control. That's really kind of a term that we, you know, throw out there more than anything else. But so, okay, so how would Republicans message against this? What would you say? The images of, you know, dead children of other people is pretty profound. They are. How do you counter that? Well, if those images are emotional, are they not? It's an emotional issue. This shouldn't be happening. You know, the manifesto of the El Paso shooter, which, by the way, is very different than the Ohio shooter. The Ohio shooter was a Elizabeth Warren supporter. And all these Democrats blaming Trump. You heard people talk about this yesterday, but it's really true. All these Democrats blaming Trump for this are silent on not blaming Elizabeth Warren, because this guy said he supported Elizabeth Warren. He was a leftist, a Satanist, right? So if that's true, why isn't the news media talking about the Ohio shooter and his manifesto? This apparently, according to the Drudge Report, this guy was part of something, a term I had not heard. He was in a porno grind band that released songs about raping and killing women. Now, is that any different than rap songs that demean women and talk about raping women? And really, and where's the social responsibility with that? Oh, I know this is America, and I know that, you know, pornography is viewed as free speech, as damaging as it is. I know that. Okay, so how far do you go with porno grind? How far? What about the record companies that do this? What about the music companies that publish this stuff? What about social media that glorifies it? What about Hollywood that glorifies this, right? They do. So where is the talk about this guy and his life? So here we are talking about red flag laws. That's part of the story in the Bloomberg here about Lindsey Graham saying that he's cut a deal with Democrat lying Senator Richard Blumenthal, and that's what this man is, on red flag legislation. Okay, so we have our version of that. Brian Boquist, you know, was the champion of that. Much maligned by so many people on the right who are our Second Amendment folks here in Oregon. So red flag legislation. So here we are talking about red flag legislation. What about red flag legislation for people who engage in saying things that incite violence? Is not putting porno grind songs out there that talk about raping and killing women, isn't that a something that would raise a red flag? What do you want to bet that the same hypocritical legislators here in Oregon, Ceasefire Oregon, the Democrats like Jennifer Williamson and Tina Kotek and others that want to take guns away from you, Ginny Burdick, what do you want to bet that they would stand up and defend porno grind lyrics, songs to talk about raping and killing women as a First Amendment right? But you don't dare talk about the cultural changes in America from open borders, because if you do, you're being racist. What do you want to bet? Now, having said all of that, let's get back to this topic. How do you counter? How do you think Republicans can counter this business of being staunch defenders of owning a gun versus being tarred and feathered, shall we say, politically, with this business of mass gun violence? Now, all of the statistics that are cited in this Bloomberg article are talking about polls, and they say that there have been 255 mass shootings so far this year, according to the Gun Violence Archive, which is a left-wing thing, folks, which counts incidents where at least four people were shot or killed, not including the shooter. Okay. How many of those were gang bang events in Chicago alone or Baltimore? Oh, there's more to talk about this, plus your opinion. 503-589-1220. Can Republicans counter this fear that they're going to lose the suburbs because they won't take away your gun?
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. We are back. So has the gun politics of America changed? Has it changed dramatically from the time that Barack Obama wouldn't touch this issue with a 10-foot pole? Fearful of it? Was Trump right when he said mental illness and hatred pulls the trigger, not the gun? So would mental illness and hatred, if there were no guns, if Penny Okamoto and the Ceasefire Oregon folks and Ginny Burdick and Kate Brown if they had their way, and literally they passed a bill that said, you got to turn over every gun, we're just going to confiscate them all. And let's say the U.S. Supreme Court upheld that and did away with the Second Amendment. And all guns were turned in, kind of like what they've done in, they're doing in New Zealand now after the Christchurch shooting. Would people stop murdering people? Would somebody find a way to go after and, because they're mentally ill, or maybe they hate immigrants because Trump is a racist, right? No, I'm quite serious. How do you counter these narratives of the left that this Bloomberg story repeats? 255 mass shootings so far this year in America. What a lie. Because most of them are gangbangers shooting up on a Saturday or driving by somebody's house and wounding a bunch of people or killing them. Every weekend we see stories about Chicago alone. These are the lies of the left. And they cite these polls. For instance, they say that gun politics have shifted since President Barack Obama avoided the issue in his 08 and 2012 campaigns for fear that it was a political loser. During Obama's first term, the country was evenly divided on whether gun laws should be made stricter or stay the same, according to Gallup. By October 2018, support for stricter firearms laws outnumbered support for maintaining them by 31 points. What? Really? So, seriously, has the gun politics of America suddenly taken a strong, steep turn to the left? And why? Why would that be? What happened that would have created a massive shift in public opinion? Or is this just another lie from Bloomberg? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. We had a caller. Caller, call back. We'd love to get your perspective on this. How would you, if you're talking with your neighbor, maybe, in one of the suburbs of Salem, or Albany, or maybe Wilsonville, wherever, how would you talk to your neighbor about this if they say, we've got to do something about this? Well, let me give you a suggestion. Why don't you, I mean, seriously, knee-jerk reactions are what public policy that's going to impact your life and your ability to defend yourself. There's a little key right there. Those words, your ability to defend yourself and your family. Public policy that's made by knee-jerk reactions to these things is why we have a constitution. Because that's mob rule, folks. That's the difference between a democracy, which always murders itself, right, by mob rule, versus a constitutional republic, which is what we have, based on a constitution, a set of principles of law, of self-governance. So you ask your neighbor, you say, we got to do something. We got to put more gun laws on. You should ask them, okay, what law would have stopped either of these shootings? Now, well, we got to stop assault weapons. So what's an assault weapon? Well, it's a gun with more than a few bullets. Really? So let's say that you banned assault weapons, which you can say, but you know, they tried that and it didn't work, which is why Congress has never renewed it. Even under Barack Obama and Democrats in control, they didn't renew it. Why? Well, because they know it doesn't work. Those are things that you could say. Because when you ask questions, people who are engaging in knee-jerk reactions, it forces them to stop and think, doesn't it? Now, these are things that you need to think out for yourself, which is why we talk about them. Because the only way that we're going to counter this media-induced and leftist-induced headlong rush into taking away one of your constitutional, taking away one of your human rights is for us, once again, to talk person to person in our sphere of influence. Because that's another little key for you, is that you have a human right to defend yourself and your family. You do. Government doesn't give you the right to defend yourself. You already have it. It is a human right. That's one of those inalienable rights. When you start talking about that, here's something else I say. People say, why do you carry a gun? I say, I carry a personal self-defense weapon. In fact, I carry several of them, and they're not all guns. That gets people to thinking, because you use the words personal defense weapon to defend innocent life, yours and mine. Because whether it's with a car, or it's with a baseball bat, or a knife, there are crazy people out there who are writing songs about murdering women and raping women, that torture animals, talk about red flag laws. Those people are crazy. What do you think? 503-589-1220. Back in a moment. We're at the bottom of the hour. Would love to get your perspective on all of this. Can Republicans counter effectively left's narrative? We're going to hear one time.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Minutes till the top of the hour. Great to have you back to a little politics, in fact, a lot of politics with your coffee. We're talking about today. If you're just joining us, by the way, can Republicans counter the narrative that they will not do anything about quote-unquote gun violence? Is there a way to do that? Because there's this Bloomberg story that's got Republicans all worried. The Republicans are going to lose the suburbs on an emotional issue. Is there a narrative that Republicans can effectively use to communicate the real issue? And can that be done person to person? What do you think? 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Before we go to our first caller, let me just remind you that Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care have some great CBD oil-based products. Both a tincture, which I use, put a little bit of CBD oil under my tongue a couple of times a day. And also with the creams, which is something I bought for my mom to rub on her arthritic joints and so forth. And it works. It's working for them. It's working for my brother. He's using CBD oil that's bringing his blood pressure down. He's getting off his blood pressure medicine. All of this is real. It's not make-believe. And, you know, maybe you just owe it to yourself, in all sincerity, to go sit down and talk with the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. They're in South Salem on South Commercial, right next to Safeway. Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. You ought to go check it out. Let's go to the phones. We'll start with Art. Art, good morning. How are you, friend?
I'm great, Jeff. How are you this morning?
Good, good. It's going to be a beautiful, warm summer day.
Yeah. So I think the Republicans' counter in a very productive way. Obviously, there's a great debate going on about, you know, the gun laws and everything. Jeff, I don't have a problem with red flag laws if everybody is held accountable and all of us are protected by our due process rights. I think if we do introduce red flag laws, if individuals say things that are not true, then they ought to be held accountable. And obviously the person who's been being allegated against does have their due process rights. And all those should be protected. Oftentimes the Democrats go radical and they don't produce good common legislation. Obviously the guy who shot up the school in Florida, there was lots of red flags and nothing was done about it. And of course, you know what happened. And that does happen oftentimes. And so it does have to be comprehensive. I also would like to say, because this needs to be introduced into the conversation, and that is us being able to protect ourselves, like in natural disasters. Look what happened in New Orleans when they had the hurricane and the floods. Mob rule was in order, and if you didn't have a gun to protect yourself, you were in deep doo-doo. And the same thing can happen here in Oregon. In fact, they say that we are going to have that great earthquake, and who in the hell is going to protect you? You're going to have to protect yourself, and if you don't have a weapon, okay, to curtail looters and people who are running around stealing, you're going to be dead, Jeff.
So, yeah, I mean, that is, that's the reality that we know, you and I know, okay? The question is can we effectively communicate that one-on-one to our neighbor or a family member or somebody at work who's buying into the lie here that you just got to have another law and these things won't happen?
Well, and like I said, Jeff, it does have to be comprehensive. Obviously, we need to have laws to take care of these loonies. Like the guy in Ohio, the kid, when he was in high school, had a death list, women he wanted to kill, and a rape list. Where did that guy deserve to be? In a mental hospital, period. And he wasn't.
So when it comes to extreme risk protection orders, ERPOs, as they're called, the key there is due process, right?
Oh,
okay, so,
absolutely.
So the cops come in and take your guns first. And then you have to go to, because somebody accuses you out of the blue. Maybe because Oregon's an open carry state, right? So you decide to walk, and I've been actually in Fred Meyer and watching a guy walk around who's got a gun on his hip. Okay, people are looking at him. So let's say you exercise your right under Oregon law to walk into a place of business that allows it, and somebody gets scared and they call the cops on you, and they make an accusation that you are, say, because maybe they ask you about it and you defended yourself verbally saying, no, it's my right to do this, that they then, the cops come in and arrest you there in the parking lot, take your gun from you under this Oregon law. Where's the due process in that? Where's the fairness in that?
Well, Jeff, obviously a police officer has to have probable cause. And if the individual has a carry permit, and if that person doesn't have a record, then obviously the police officers do not have probable cause to take away that gun. And that is why the laws have to be very specific, and everybody involved has to be held accountable if they do things inappropriately, including the police.
Well, all right. So, Art, thanks for your thoughts, because I need to move on from that. I mean, it's how do you trust that when we have apparently two systems of justice for the rich and the powerful who aren't held accountable? I mean, you go right to the national level, right here to Oregon. You got this Democrat donor out of Eugene who's just a reprobate is the only way to describe this guy. And they've looked the other way for years with him. He's a pedophile. And do we have two systems of justice? How does this happen? Well, do you have the faith in that? I don't. But are there laws? And Art, thanks for your calls. It's 6:44.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Day.
503-589-1220. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. How do we counter this? How do you counter it when your neighbor says, we got to do something about this? We got to take away guns. Nobody needs an AK-47 or an AR-15. Really? So it so happens that an AR-15 is a very effective weapon, especially with a scope on it, at killing coyotes. Well, okay, all right, well, maybe, and I know this because Marie Bowers is a young mother, rural. She's a relative of mine. She's kind of big in Timber Unity, and she's big on social media and Twitter. She posted a picture of her AR-15 with a scope on it in her farm truck. Now, the reason she did that is because she keeps it for not just self-protection, but for killing coyotes. But nobody needs an AR-15. Why? Is it a weapon of war, or is it a weapon of self-defense? Self-defense not just against yourself, but against animals that kill your animals. Sheep. I mean, seriously, when we talk about things like taking guns away from law-abiding citizens, okay, are red flag laws the answer here? Now, how would a red flag law have kept this leftist, insane person who's clearly mentally ill? Like, you know, Art articulated this guy in high school. I talked about it yesterday. He was suspended for stuff that he was scrawling that everybody knew it was him on the walls, talking about raping girls in school, having a list, a hit list and a rape list, right? And then he goes to join a band that talks about raping and killing women, has songs that talk about raping and killing women. Now, how would this work if that was a rapper? Would two systems of justice work there? How many rappers that are involved in gun violence, and there are apparently quite a few of them, that never get prosecuted for their words they say? I mean, we have a First Amendment, right? How far do we take this? Because if seriously, folks, if you're going to have a red flag law that says someone can accuse you of saying something on Twitter or Facebook, or maybe in passing at work, somebody reports you, the cops come and visit you at work, or the cops come and visit you at home and take your guns and say, we have a credible report that you qualify for us to take your weapons into custody under Oregon's law, or maybe a new federal law. How do you defend yourself against that? And would that have stopped this crazy person in Ohio or the crazy guy in El Paso? Let's talk about it when we come back on the other side at 6:48. Listening to Political Coffee. Back in a minute.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Or you can send me an email to Jeff at 1220.am. In a moment, we're going to go to Brian, but I want to remind you of my friend Fred Thompson and his ability to sit down with you and help make your life better. You know, if you're not exactly kind of like me, you know, I'm 60 years old, and you know, one of these days I'm going to have to take Social Security. Well, what's Social Security going to look like for the rest of my life? Well, it's not looking too good, folks. It's obvious with the trustees report every year that that date is moving closer and closer to when it just goes insolvent. Then what are we going to do? Are my benefits going to get cut back? Is that going to give me enough to live on in my later years? Well, if you've got that same concern like I do, maybe you ought to talk to Fred. You know, he can help you have more income in retirement, some of it even tax-free. Why don't you give him a call? 503-428-7479. 503-428-7479. Let's go to Brian, who's on the line. Brian, good morning. What do you say?
Well, sounds good on paper, you know, these laws. I don't know how you could apply them. We've seen the willingness of government officials to apply laws in different ways to different groups of people. We see them willing to not apply them or to misuse them and to be dishonest. And you have so many people now, the mindset, especially on the left, that if they think it just the end justifies the mean, if it's a greater good if they lie and to get their agenda across. So I don't know how you could have one of these red tag laws and expect it to be used correctly for very long. It'd just be part of the slippery slope.
Well, okay, so let's a case in point, I think, that reinforces the point you've just made is what's happened to Michael Strickland in Portland.
Yes.
Conservative videographer, as you know, was assaulted, and there's video of that, pulled his gun in self-defense. The Multnomah County DA and the sheriff, everybody went after him. Okay, now he's appealing that decision. Even though he had a right to do that, they went after him for political reasons, to send a message. Now, why would this be any different if you get a rogue prosecutor, maybe in Multnomah County, or maybe some other county, maybe Lane County, I don't know. I mean, what you've just described is exactly what could happen, but yet your rights are being infringed, and it costs you a lot of money to defend yourself in court. But let me ask you this, from a political standpoint, how do you think you could defend your right, your human right to carry a gun and defend your family, innocent life? How can you engage in debate with your neighbor or somebody else who's bought the lie? What can you do?
I think just exactly what you're saying, if you can appeal to them in a calm manner, because we've all been in situations where there's knee-jerk reaction and it just escalates, and the old saying that even if you convince a person against his will, it's still the same opinion. So you may think you've won the argument, but it doesn't change a thing. So you would hopefully, if you could engage the person in a rational manner, to where, like you're saying, they would stop and think, you know, how does one defend themselves? Because you can't have 50% of the population be policemen to stand guard on the other 50% of the people. It's just, you know, the old sign I saw in one of the stores that says, I carry a gun because I can't carry a policeman.
That's a great truism there.
You know, they can't be everywhere as good as they are and as well-intentioned as they are. If it wasn't for the ones we do have, think how the bad guys would run rampant. So, other than the common sense reasoning, but everybody's an emotional knee-jerk because of these crazy scenarios, these horrible scenarios of people being murdered in cold blood because someone's very twisted. And
the twisting is the issue ultimately. Brian, thanks for your call. I do appreciate it in your perspective. Because that really, it lends itself to, well, it's just this email that I got from Defend 1776, and it's titled, Why the Shootings Occur. He said, you're right in what you said about this. One or both of two factors is present in every mass shooter. You and your callers, Rich and Sabrina, mentioned one of them, and that's the use of psychotropic drugs. As Rich mentioned, the U.S. Army has not allowed Ritalin users to be recruited. Many researchers have noted the users of psychotropic drugs often become suicidal and or homicidal, especially during the weeks or months after they stop using the drug. And that is absolutely true, folks. But here's another thing that he writes. The other factor is routinely present is the lack of a father in the home when the child is growing. And he goes on to talk about how even Obama talked about it in some political stories and others. And he says, we now have more fatherless children than ever before, more than one in four. And he says, a final factor that has been recognized by Second Amendment groups is that these mass shootings almost always occur in so-called gun-free zones. If one were a conspiracy theorist, you might think that there's a primary reason to have these zones in the first place. Whatever, it's obvious that innocent people in these gun-free zones are defenseless. And that makes for more innocent victims. How true. You know, I just believe, folks, that as Republicans are shaking in their boots here and are being drugged to a place of passing laws that make it harder for you to defend yourself, innocent life, or your family, that's the debate you need to have. You need to ask questions. Do you have a human right to defend yourself? If so, how? With a knife, with a baseball bat, with a taser, with a gun? When you're talking about these with people who have bought the lie, be respectful. Now, there are some people that are crazy. Don't waste your time. Seriously, don't waste your time. You can debate them, yes. And sometimes you can debate them maybe when they're making controversial statements in front of other groups of people. That's the time for you to ask the question, which of these new laws would have stopped the insanity in the mind of a person who would use a gun or a knife or a car bomb to kill a lot of innocent people because they're sick in the head? Which of these new laws would have stopped that? Because ultimately, isn't that the question? Trump said it. The gun didn't pull the trigger itself. A sick, twisted mind did. Good point. I still haven't gotten to the Kate Brown story. I'm telling you, folks, she's sending a message to Democrats more than Republicans. Thanks for joining us today. Get out there, make it a great day. I'll be back tomorrow, and I hope you are too. Be blessed.